Good morning and welcome to our site as we share together on this last Sunday before Christmas. And so we're breaking away from the little letter of James this morning, and today and Christmas morning we'll be taking a Christmas theme. And so please have your Bible handy, because today we're going to be looking together at a number of scriptures as I consider under the title Christmas Journey. Christmas Journey. And we're going to take a look at some of the journeys around the incarnation of our Lord Jesus, God becoming flesh, the Lord Jesus, the eternal Son of God, becoming truly man, so that we, the sons and daughters of men, might again become the sons and daughters of the living God. What a wonderful story, the story of the Word, the living Word Jesus, becoming flesh, dwelling among us, and revealing the glory of God. What good news! And so, no better place than the Gospels to turn for that good news. So please have your Bible open, and we're going to be reading primarily from Luke and Matthew. And so Luke chapter 2, and then in Matthew, the beginning of Matthew's Gospel, Christmas Journey. Let's just bow together in prayer and ask God to speak to us powerfully and meaningfully during this little time together. Thank you so much for being with us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this glorious morning. And as we anticipate celebrating the birth of our Savior on Friday morning, we just come to praise you, that you, the living God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, created man as the crown of your creation. And even though we have fallen short of your glory, strayed away and done our own thing, thank you that you so loved the world, so loved each one of us, that you gave your one and only Son, so that believing in him we might not perish but have eternal life. And so we pray that you'd speak to us this morning from the Scriptures, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Open the eyes of our heart, open the eyes of our spiritual understanding, so that we may, perhaps better than ever before, comprehend the wonder of the Christmas story as we look at the journeys surrounding the Christmas event. Open our eyes that we may see Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Life is a journey, the saying goes, and enjoy the ride. The journey through 2020 has been quite a ride for us, hasn't it? Been a ride for us in the United Evangelical Fellowship in Fishhook, near Cape Town, South Africa, and it's been a ride for people all over the world. The year started so well, didn't it? Until COVID-19 got into the driver's seat, and then everything went pear-shaped. 19 little COVIDs sitting in Wuhan decided to leave China, the entire globe to span. First they messed up Europe, then the poor UK. Took a plane to Donald Trump to wreck the USA. Now they've journeyed round the world, thinking they're so clever that as we come to Christmas, the pandemic's worse than ever. But they have met their Moses, coming to the UEF. We'll pray those fuzzy rascals off until not one is left. Oh well, how faithful God has been to us, despite the ups and downs during the past year. Our joys and heartaches, our gains and losses, and here we are about to celebrate the greatest journey of all, the journey of the Saviour, the journey that Jesus took from the glory of the throne in heaven to the humility of humanity, a journey God in his infinite grace and mercy had planned before time began. And so think with me this morning of the Christmas journey, and first of all, the journey of Mary and Joseph, the journey from Nazareth in Galilee to Bethlehem in Judea, a journey of well over 100 kilometres, about 90 miles, in fact, if you're working in miles, and all this because of the decree of Caesar Augustus, the Roman Emperor, who decreed that in the new census people had to return to the place of their birth to register for the new taxation system. And so it was that Mary, who was betrothed to Joseph the carpenter, Mary, no doubt still a teenager, but betrothed to Joseph the carpenter, they made their way from Nazareth in Galilee to Bethlehem in Judea, on foot or on a donkey. When they arrived there, of course, Mary, being heavily pregnant, needed accommodation. And there was no room for them, no accommodation available to them in Bethlehem. And so Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary, having been conceived of the Holy Spirit of God, and placed in a manger. A rugged feeding trough was his cradle. Look at the story in Luke chapter 2. In those days Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. I hope that as we come to Christmas, there's room in your heart for the Lord Jesus Christ. What a journey that must have been for a young pregnant teenager and her husband, journeying from Nazareth in Galilee to Bethlehem in Judea. But there the Savior of the world was born. Hallelujah. And then think of the journey of the shepherds that we read of later. And so look at verse 8 of Luke chapter 2. And there were shepherds living out in the field nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David a Saviour has been born. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. How like God to do it this way. How like the prosperity preachers of our day, who would have concocted this story, with probably Jesus arriving in a Cadillac and, a pregnant Mary in fur coat and all the Hollywood lights blazing and the music going. No, God chooses a lowly virgin who is betrothed to a carpenter, a poor and ordinary Jewish couple, and he has them journey to Bethlehem, to little Bethlehem, and there in a cave or a stable the Son of God is born. And God reveals this not to the high and the mighty, not to the Caesars and the rulers. God reveals this to shepherds out in the fields. Shepherds out in the fields because they were looked down upon. They were not considered part of the important group of society. And yet the Lord, in his amazing grace, reveals the good news of the birth of the Saviour to shepherds watching over their flocks at night. And then consider the journey of the wise men from the east, who made the journey from the east to Jerusalem. And now if you'll turn in your Bible to the Gospel of Matthew, the beginning of Matthew's Gospel, and we read of the journey of the sages or the magi, the astronomers from the East, Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. Look at this amazing journey. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the East came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the East and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had called together all the people, chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you will find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." Liar. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star that they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream to go not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. What an amazing journey, the journey of the wise men from the east to Jerusalem to worship the Lord Jesus, directed by a star that God had placed in the heavens over the house where the baby Jesus was. And there they brought their gifts, gifts fit for a king, fit for a ruler, fit for one who was to be the priest of the people of God all over the world. What an amazing journey. And then fourthly, look with me for a moment at the journey of Joseph and Mary and the baby to Jerusalem. And now we go back to the Gospel of Luke, and Luke chapter 2, and we read in Luke chapter 2 from verse 22. When the time of their purification according to the law of Moses had been completed, Joseph and Mary took Jesus to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now listen to this. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ, God's anointed one, the Messiah, Jesus. Moved by the Holy Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for the Gentiles and for the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. And then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against." Friend, that's still happening today. "So that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." Then listen to this. This journey back to Jerusalem, to the temple, to dedicate Jesus to the Lord. Not only this amazing situation where Simeon had been told by God that he would not die until he'd seen the Messiah. Now listen to this in verse 36. There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old, She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Oh, my word, what a life of dedication to God. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Oh, God, won't you give us more women like Anna today? Coming up to them at that very moment, Anna gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. Another journey from Nazareth to Jerusalem, from Jerusalem to Nazareth. And Luke adds, "And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." What an amazing journey, the journey from Nazareth to Jerusalem to dedicate the baby Jesus to the Lord, as was required by the law given to Moses. And then think about the journey to Egypt. And here we go back to Matthew's Gospel, Matthew chapter 2, and reading from verse 13. Matthew chapter 2 and verse 13. Speaking of the wise men having departed, Matthew says, "When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. 'Get up,' he said, 'take the child and his mother, and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him.' So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod." What a journey that must have been, friends. The journey of Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus, all the way from Nazareth down to Egypt. Of course, Egypt was very significant, wasn't it, in the Bible? Egypt, the place where Joseph went, the place where Joseph was mistreated, imprisoned, and then on his release, ultimately became the one who was in charge under Pharaoh of all of Egypt. And so in the providence of God, Jacob and his sons went to Egypt, where there was food, and they were put in the land of Goshen, the most fertile part of the land, and there that little group of about 70 people, Jacob and his family, became the great nation of Israel. And so the event of the great Exodus, everybody knows about the Exodus from Egypt, where under God's mighty hand and under the leadership of Moses, God parted the waters of the Red Sea, and the Israelites were able to cross over on dry ground, probably 1 to 2 million people, and then wandered in the desert until finally, 40 years later, they came to the Jordan under the leadership of Joshua and went into the land that God had promised to them. Egypt, what a significant place. God loves Egypt. God loves all the nations of the world. God loves Egyptians, and God loves you. Look at this wonderful journey to Egypt. What a journey that must have been, as Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus go to Egypt. And so this is what we read. "Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So they went to Egypt, so that verse 15, what was spoken by the prophet was fulfilled. "Out of Egypt I called my son." When Herod realized that he'd been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. Notice how often Matthew is quoting Old Testament scriptures that are being fulfilled. Isn't that a miracle, friends? That's supernatural. That's the working of God, that scriptures related 500, sometimes 700 years and more before Jesus came are actually being fulfilled one after the other that first Christmas in the birth of the Lord Jesus and the events surrounding his birth. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. A voice is heard in Ramah, verse 18, Matthew 2, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead." So he got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets, "He will be called a Nazarene." My, what amazing journeys! The journey of Mary and Joseph from Nazareth to Bethlehem for the birth of Jesus, the journey of the shepherds from the Judean hills to Bethlehem, to the manger, to the Christ child, the journey of the wise men from the east later on, coming to the house where the baby was to worship and present their gifts, the journey of Joseph and Mary and the baby to Jerusalem to take him to the temple there to be dedicated to the Lord, the journey down to Egypt to flee from the wrath of Herod, and then the journey all the way back from Egypt to Israel and to Nazareth. The journey that must have taken such an amount of strength out of this young couple and their little one. And the journey back to Jerusalem. Look at this journey as we look at Luke chapter 2 again and verses 19 to 23. Luke chapter 2, from verse 19 to verse 23. Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they'd heard and seen, which were just as they'd been told. And then the story of Jesus being presented at the temple. And now if you'd look at Luke chapter 2 and right over to verse 41. Every year his parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. After the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they travelled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among the relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. The 12-year-old Jesus. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you been treating us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know that I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and men. The 12-year-old Jesus, beginning to become a man, he grew in stature, he grew in wisdom, he grew in favor with God and men. In other words, he grew intellectually, he grew physically, he grew spiritually, he grew socially. What an amazing journey. The journey back to Jerusalem once again, to the temple, at age 12, and Jesus is confounding the interpreters of the Mosaic law, the rabbis, the Pharisees, and the Sadducees. And then look at Jesus' journey to the Jordan. Jesus is now aged 30. We believe that was his age. And we look at the story now in Luke chapter 3 from verse 21. Luke 3 and verse 21. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." Now Jesus himself was about 30 years old when he began his ministry. He was the son, so it was thought, of Joseph, the son of Heli, the son of Mathath. What an amazing journey. The journey of Jesus now to begin his public ministry as he goes down to the River Jordan, where his older cousin, John the Baptizer, is baptizing people. And when John sees Jesus coming on the banks of the Jordan, he says to his disciples and to the huge crowds who gathered always for baptism, "Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world." And although Jesus has no sin, he identifies himself fully with us as sinners as he is baptized in the River Jordan to commence his public ministry. And the Holy Spirit of God descends upon him in the form of a dove, and he is baptized in the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit of God, and anointed, empowered, and equipped for his public ministry of 3 to 3.5 years. And God the Father looks down upon his obedient Son and says, "This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased." What a wonderful revelation of the triune Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all present at the baptism of Jesus as he made his journey to the River Jordan. And then if you'll look further as we carry on to Luke chapter 4, the journey of Jesus into the wilderness of temptation. We read in Luke chapter 4, and reading now, from verse 1, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the desert, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell the stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone." The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world, and he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor, for it's been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to, so if you'll worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The devil led him to Jerusalem, and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you're the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here, for it's written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you'll not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered, "It says, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished all of this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. What a wonderful story, the story of Jesus' journey into the wilderness after his baptism, beginning his public ministry to defeat the devil, to show his absolute authority and triumph over our enemy, the evil one. What a wonderful journey that Jesus took for you and me in the wilderness of temptation. And then read on the journey to the synagogue in Nazareth. And we're just going to take one or two more journeys now before we close. Jesus returned, verse 14 of Luke 4, in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread throughout the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up and read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." This is the reason for the season. Then Jesus rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant and sat down, and the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. "Isn't this Joseph's son?" they asked. What an amazing journey to the synagogue in Nazareth, the Spirit of the Lord upon him for his mission. And then the journey to the Gentiles. We must mention this, that our Hebrew Lord had on his heart from all eternity not just the Jews as a nation chosen to represent him and be a light to the Gentiles, but the Gentiles themselves, the non-Jewish nations of the world. And so Matthew chapter 4 and verses 12 to 17, we read about the Lord Jesus making his way to Gentile territory, and what an amazing journey Jesus makes. And so we're back now in Matthew chapter 4 and reading from verse 12. Matthew chapter 4, reading from verse 12, the journey to the Gentiles. When Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he returned to Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah, "The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way to the sea along the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people living in darkness have seen a great light, and those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned." And from that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." Praise the Lord that Jesus, our Hebrew Lord, was willing to make his home in Capernaum, in the place of the nations, the crossroads of the nations of the earth. Capernaum, the place of the poor, the despised, the diseased, the marginalized. Jesus, our Savior, chose to make his home there, in Galilee of the Gentiles. And then just think of two more journeys before the final journey, the journey to Lake Galilee, choosing the disciples, giving the Sermon on the Mount. What a sight that must have been as Jesus made that journey and the crowds were gathered before him, thousands of people, and he speaks to them and he shares with them the Beatitudes. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will find mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are you when you are persecuted for righteousness' sake." And so Jesus launches into his discourse on the mountainside, the Sermon on the Mount, the greatest sermon ever preached. What a journey that was. And then think of a journey that he made to a woman at Jacob's well in Samaria. John chapter 4 tells that story, how Jesus had this burden to go through Samaria, even though the Samaritans were looked down upon by the Jews. And Jesus at Jacob's well is weary and thirsty, and a lady comes in the middle of the day, because she's a lady with a sordid past. She's had five husbands, and the person she's living with now is not a real husband. And Jesus, the gentle and lowly Savior, appeals to her sympathy, asking for a drink of water, appeals to her curiosity, revealing himself as the one who gives living water, revealing the good news that he is able to give water that will quench our thirsty souls. And this Samaritan woman is brought to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus, goes back to the village of Sychar and calls all her friends and many in that Samaritan village because of the testimony of this woman with a sordid past, place their trust in Jesus as their Savior. He had to go through Samaria. He didn't have to really, but he wanted to, because he knew that there God his Father was at work in the life of a woman who was in desperately need of forgiveness and of salvation. And so Jesus makes that journey to those who are in need. But we close by thinking, of course, of the final journey. The final journey of Jesus to Jerusalem. How he wept over Jerusalem, the unrepentant, who refused to acknowledge him as Messiah and Lord. And then how he made that journey to the last Passover with his disciples, breaking the bread and giving them the wine as signs of the new covenant of God's love with his people. And then the journey to Gethsemane on the slopes of the Mount of Olives, where he sweated great drops of blood as he cried out, "O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup of suffering pass from me." But that journey into Gethsemane, so significant, is a journey in which Jesus was triumphant in prayer. And then the journey from his betrayal to his trials, and then the journey to the cross. The journey to the hill of Golgotha, the place of the skull, where Jesus was crucified for my sins and for yours. His journey to hell and back. But praise God, on the third day, he made the journey out of the tomb, alive forevermore. Spent 40 days journeying with his disciples, teaching them about the kingdom of God. And then he made his journey back to heaven as they watched him, taken up in the clouds from the Mount of Olives, as Jesus ascended to his rightful place at the Father's right hand, to be our mediator, our sympathetic, understanding high priest, our intercessor, and King of kings and Lord of lords. And one day soon, he will make the journey back. But until that day, the journey was made by him through the power of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, his journey into the human heart. And still today, this Jesus, the Christ of Christmas, is willing to make the journey into every heart that will turn to him in humility, repentance, and faith. And so we close our meditation on Christmas journeys with this wonderful hymn, which I hope you'll make your prayer. Thou didst leave thy throne and thy kingly crown when thou camest to earth for me, but in Bethlehem's home there was found no room for thy holy nativity. O come to my heart, Lord Jesus, there's room in my heart for thee. Heaven's arches rang when the angels sang, proclaiming thy royal degree. But of lowly birth camest thou, Lord, on earth, and in great humility. O come to my heart, Lord Jesus, there's room in my heart for thee. The foxes found rest, and the birds their nest, in the shade of the cedar tree. But thy couch was a sod, O thou Son of God, in the deserts of Galilee. O come to my heart, Lord Jesus, there's room in my heart for thee. Thou camest, O Lord, with a living word, that should set thy people free. But with mocking scorn and with crown of thorn they bore thee to Calvary. O come to my heart, Lord Jesus, thy cross is my only plea. When heaven's arches ring and her choir shall sing at thy coming to victory, let thy voice call me home, saying, yet there is room in my side for thee. And my heart shall rejoice, Lord Jesus, when thou comest and callest for me. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for this amazing Christmas story, this multitude of journeys, but the greatest of all, the journey of the Lord Jesus from heaven to earth, the journey of God becoming man, a baby in a cradle, a manger for his bed, the journey of the baby growing up to become a man, entering his public ministry, culminating that ministry of doing good, of healing, of forgiving, of blessing people, culminating that ministry in voluntarily laying down his life on the cross for our sins, and then being raised the third day, that all who repent and believe in him, receiving him by faith as Savior and Lord, might be born again, born of the Holy Spirit into the family of God, and have life everlasting. Thank you, Father, for the good news of Christmas. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God our Heavenly Father and the comfort of the Holy Spirit be with you all in this Christmas season, into the new year, and always. Amen. Amen.
There is room.